donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we're back. Let me read those the last four or five of those headlines right now. U.S. military to roll out spike Ferritin nanoparticle COVID vaccines. I know I mentioned that we fear, and this is by Dr. Mike Adams, that we fear is designed to kill active duty troops and weaken America's military defenses. The Chinese fellas have been boasting about how they're killing American troops without firing a shot. They have their people in the highest place in the U.S. government. Boy, do they, don't they?
Biden.
What did he get? Over a billion. The Biden crime cartel. How much have they gotten? Over $1 billion, the whole family, from the Chinese? Okay, here's another one by Ethan Huff. Cases of vaccine-induced VADs are on the rise due to mass COVID vaccination. Lance D. Johnson, top health figures accused of genocide and historic complaints sent to the International Criminal Court. I've heard about that, they're going to try to go after Fauci. That Fulmer, German lawyer, they're going to go after Fauci for genocide and some of his cohorts. Okay, oxygen deprivation mask syndrome now sweeping across the globe. People are getting sick. They're having all kinds of problems. Pneumonia, because of wearing those face diapers that turn into soiled diapers that they wear around their mouth. And then the last one, Lancet science paper destroys false narrative of COVID vaccines, reveals vaccinated are... Okay, they're perpetuating the pandemic. Part of my article was cut off here. Alrighty, now, we want to switch from that to, let's go over, one other real quick article here. I'm just going to go with the headlines on this one. Los Angeles public schools canceled their vaccine mandate after 30,000 kids were not complying. Again, the Los Angeles public schools canceled their vaccine mandates after 30,000 kids were not complying. And they told Governor Goofy there, forget it, we're not going to comply, okay? And so that's a good one. You're not hearing about that on NBC, ABC, or CBS, are you?
No.
Okay, appeals court declines to left vaccine mandate ban for Kentucky, Ohio, Tennessee. Now there's 8 states. Texas is one of the latest one. They said, nope, we're not going to apply. We will not apply the courts have ruled we do not have to apply the vaccine mandate, okay? And I know that's a growing all around the country. In fact, there's another one, a freedom rally tomorrow, and I forget, I got to get that announcement. Let me see if I can find that announcement, the freedom rally tomorrow, and I didn't make that. Let me see where that is. You ready? Okay, here you go. Tomorrow, we have a rally at the Free Stamp, right downtown Cleveland. You've got this big, ugly stamp. It's a big, ugly stamp, and... there's going to be a rally, a freedom rally there to protest the vaccines, the mandates tomorrow. And I'm trying to bring this up. Let's work together to uphold freedom and equality, not equity, equality. Take a stand against unjust tyranny. Join us, Ohioans Defending Freedom, Saturday, January 8th, 10 a.m. at the Free Stamp in Cleveland. So, folks, it's from 10 to noon tomorrow. And, boy, is it cold out there tomorrow. I know I preached the graveside message today, and it was a tad bit cold out there today. Okay.
Pastor Ernie, I'd like to add something.
Mm-hmm.
I groan when I hear that, defend freedom. It should be defend us from the death shot. Freedom is it's nice and it's important, but it's like a weak argument, and we don't want the death. The freedom we want is from the death shot. That's being left out of it.
Yeah, well, that's true, but I think it's the death shot, but it's also the masks, but it's also mandates. We're tired of these governors and that making dictates out of, and you know, King Biden, King Joey, making all of these dictates to place upon. This is tyranny. You know, remember what Jefferson said? Jefferson said, when the government fears the people, you have liberty. When the people fear the government, you have tyranny. I can't tell you.
I'm agreeing with everything you're saying, but everybody should be promoting it's the death shot, and we should be ready to answer why. That way, people that don't know what we know, they know that, hey, we don't want to take these shots. Yeah, okay, for freedom, but there's more than that. The thing is, this is a death shot. It's designed to kill, maim, hurt us, and we want no part of it. That's lacking, Pastor Ernie. It just is.
Well, do you know what part of the chatter out there is when people ask me why in the world did Trump? Why did Trump push this? And now, listen to this. It's not just us Christians that are refusing this. The Deathocrats now are saying amongst each other that Trump did this because he knew the Democrats would be the ones that would take the shots. And they're saying that now. And they're buying guns. They're out there now. Now they're having an increase in the amount of Deathocrats that are buying guns. And so, but they're saying that Trump knew that they would be the ones that would take the shot, and that's why he did it, and it's killing them, okay? Well, it is killing, like you said, 400,000 people don't know, the whole depopulation movement. Remember...
Mr. Ernie, that was real interesting. You mentioned 400,000 have died, and that came from Columbia University.
Yeah, I know.
And there's been other studies that come out with like 380,000. But really, it looks like the number of people who have died, this is just 1 year. 1 year from this shot is about around 400,000.
Well, here's another quick one. Texas joins 6 other states in declining COVID vaccine mandates for enforcement for National Guard. Here in Ohio, we're not going to require that, the National Guard, either, to take it. Well, wait a minute. They don't even have that listed in this. They've got the governors of other states. Alaska, Iowa, Mississippi, Nebraska, Wyoming are the same. And I know here in Ohio, the National Guard said, no, we're not taking it. And so...
Yeah, the governor of Texas said that Biden is not the commander-in-chief of the National Guard, the governor is, until the National Guard is activated. So he is head of the Texas National Guard, not Biden.
Okay, let's go. Let's move. I want to move over into January 6th. I want to talk about that here. Here you go. I've got a good article here by Tyler Durden, and this is from Zero Hedge. The hardened steel baton made the most disturbing sound as it bounced off Victoria White's skull. It varied between a hollow click and a deeper snap, depending on where on her head the metal weapon made contact. "Please don't beat her," a man in the crowd yelled. It was chaos in the West Terrace Tunnel entrance to the U.S. Capitol on the afternoon of January 6th, 2021, outside thousands who have attended President Donald Trump's Save America rally milled around the terrorist while groups of rioters battled police during the tunnel, near the tunnel. an almost demonic cacophony emanated from underneath the tunnel arch. "I didn't even touch you," a woman cried. "I need help. I need help," a man shouted. "Stand up, damn it," and toned a police officer in riot gear. "Get out." Well, I just, instead of going through this whole article, the whole article shows you, and here's pictures of some of the people they beat. They killed these. Here, I'm looking at a picture of Victoria White as they're down, and people are trying to pick her up. And the dirty cops here, after repeatedly striking White on the head, the officer in the white holstered his baton. Then he made a fist with his bare left hand and punched White in the face. This was a woman. This guy's hitting these. These are dirty cops. These are Washington, D.C. dirty cops. Okay, that's what D.C. stands for, the dirty cops. Okay, and here I have a picture of the circumstances of the worst violence are hotly contested, but the results were the Trump supporter Ashley Babbitt. Now, Ashley Babbitt, 35, was shot and killed by Capitol Police. She was murdered. She was murdered by a dirty cop. Ashley Babbitt was, see, this is the truth, what I'm telling you, okay? And we know that. We saw it. We have films of that. We're here where this guy just goes off and just kills her. She was no threat to him at all. She was murdered by a dirty cop, and we have the dirty media will not report that. And that's what.
Ernie, do you know the background on that cop that killed her?
Tell me about it. I have a file BLM. On him somewhere.
A BLM. He's got a BLM background. He's a supporter of BLM, and he had left. He went into the men's room, left his gun, loaded gun, in the men's room, and he was never reprimanded or anything for it.
And so that is what took place. This is why we're going to be showing this film. I have another article here. Let me just read this. A letter from a January 6th political prisoner. And that's what these people are. Reveals dirty games and the FBI hoax to target patriots. A January 6th political prisoner named Guy Raffetti has written a letter obtained by Big League Politics that acknowledges the hoax being used to charge Raffetti on a rare gun charge. Raffetti is being charged under the firearm provision in the rioting statute. But photographic evidence and sworn witness statements presented in the article below show that an alleged FBI false flag operation called the Madisonville hoax is responsible for the president being used to charge Raffetti, and now Raffetti knows he is being set up. Guy Raffetti wrote a letter to citizen Walter Fitzpatrick, who had been providing him information about the Madisonville hoax, which the FBI, under Director Robert Mueller, ran in 2010 in Tennessee to falsely prosecute a right-wing man for trying to take over a courthouse, even though the man never even went to the courthouse in question. Raffetti refers to this letter to the Madisonville hoax and to lying Joe Biden. You know, after Biden, you know, yesterday after I heard him get that speech, I can never refer to him anymore without saying lying Joe Biden, because everything he said was a lie. Raffetti writes that information leaves me to believe that the DOJ, that's the Department of Judas, ran a test run on a state level in Tennessee. Biden was the VP, and now he's the big cheese. The big guy appears with the help of others, ran the full version of Madisonville, D.C. on January 6th. I'm seeing this correctly. I have the same charge Darren got 48 months for, and he is the only other time it's been applied. Well, it goes on, this whole article, it's a very big article, long article, but it tells you about all the corruption. In fact, there's a letter here. The letter is by Guy Ruffin. Here's what he says. I have since recently acquired a case files involving Huff and subsequently found yours. I would like to get a better understanding. Should you like, we can discuss by mail. We can message with an app called Getting Out app. typically have, well, this is just a long article. I'm not going to read the whole article. It tells you about ways that they can connect. And but the corruption is unbelievable. One more fast article here. Then I want to talk about and see what you guys think. Now, Kamala Harris said that the January 6th, what she called insurrection, was worse than Pearl Harbor and 9/11. Unbelievable, these people. But, I mean, is there absolutely no end to their wickedness and to their lying and their evil? This article was first published on February 26, 2021. It is a legitimate question to raise because there are still some patriots serving time within the ranks of the FBI who are beyond distraught over the gross politicalization of their once proud and respected organization. That's what they're all telling you, how, you know, once, and we just did this big a series on the FBI with Ted Gunderson, who was a good friend of mine. And, you know, when he was there, and you know what he told me? They murdered him. But he told me the biggest problem when he headed up the FBI, he was in charge, John and John, of all the Southwest, Texas, California, Nevada, New Mexico, Colorado, Arizona, and he was in charge of that whole area. And he told me one of the biggest problems he had was rogue cops within the system. But anyhow, the final straw for many in the Bureau is the dishonest response to the January 6th swarm at the U.S. Capitol. For starters, the FBI had intelligence about Antifa's plans to infiltrate the crowds of Trump supporters and incite violence. But the FBI was manipulated. Some of the very groups labeled as white supremacists. Now, here we see Antifa, burn, loot, and murder. They're posting photos and bragging online. They're bragging on the internet how they worked with the FBI to set up Trump supporters. They're bragging about that. And you know what? Let me just say this, and then I'll shut up and let you guys hear what Kamala Harris. Remember Kamala Harris, what she did? You had, in the summer of 2020, you had 574 riots. 574 riots. And by the deathocratic mob, the Antichrist mob system that was paid for by George Soros, and Donald Trump offered to send in troops, especially there out there in Portland and that. He offered to send in 20,000 troops. Also, he offered, and even the same thing, January 6th of 21, he offered to send in, he said, let us send in federal troops to make sure there is no riot, to make sure that we have peace. He offered to do that, and the so-called mayor, Bowser, she refused, would not let him send in the troops. That is, there is nothing about these people that is not totally corrupt. That whole thing was set up by dirty politicians and dirty cops. So what do John and John have to say?
Well, Pastor Ernie, you just about said it all. I mean, the FBI has been gone for quite a while, Pastor Ernie. I don't know how long, but it's been way before what we see now. And it's pretty well rotten from top to bottom. You know, all the old timers have retired, and the new breed they brought in are just bringing in ones like themselves. So I don't think it's salvageable, the FBI. We'd have to do away with it to bring integrity back to law enforcement.
Well, John, you know, you were co-founder of Cops for Christ, both national and international. You're the chaplain. And
yes.
What would you say to people? Because I get this question, and the question is, why aren't other pastors, don't we have more pastors saying what you're saying. Why don't we have more pastors saying what you're saying? We know you're telling the truth. So how would you answer that, John?
Why aren't there more pastors preaching the gospel, Pastor Ernie? Why aren't there more pastors standing up for pro-life? You know, the pastors, we need fire in the belly. We need a move of God in their lives.
So would you say that there's a dearth of courage?
Oh, absolutely. When John and myself, when we worked in pro-life there in Harrisburg, it was basically me and him and a couple others and Catholics. There was no... I contacted 72 pastors in the area. One responded and then never, didn't follow up. They're too busy doing something else. But, yeah, the FBI is gone. It's a dangerous organization, Pastor.
We sent out over 100 letters here in Northeast Ohio to the different churches and asking for pastors to come and help out there on the streets of Cleveland and save babies. And you're right. We got about two responses. And so there's a dearth of courage, and a dearth of courage usually comes from what? A lack of?
The fear of God.
So with their mouth, they say they fear God, but with their actions, they show they fear who?
A man. They're afraid of man. And they're afraid of the government.
So what would you
say? Exactly, yeah. That's exactly why Hitler was able to do what he did. Exactly what.
So let me ask. Well, this is what I just had a conversation with another pastor just this week. And I told him, and I said that the reason we have what we have, the reason that we've got over 100 million dead babies, the one group of people that should have stood, the one group of people that dishonored God, more than any other, were the pastors. And let me tell you, these pastors, that they don't like to hear this. But they know it's true. They know it's true. They won't argue with you that they know it's true. But and so will a point come? Are they going to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"?
No, they're going to have to give account of why they didn't stand.
All righty.
Mr. Ernie, I had contact with 9 counties in north central Pennsylvania worth of pastors trying to get them out to pro-life. And I don't think I was successful at all with any, but we did have one pastor who we met and we became good friends with that came out, not from our particular area, but one, Pastor Jeff. In my recollection, that was about it, wasn't it, John?
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about Pastor Jeff, but yes. Yeah.
Hey, God told him to come out, and he came out. And we met him there. And we became good, close brothers in the Lord.
Yeah, we did. We did.
Well, over the years here where I've had about a dozen that have come out to the streets with me. We've had other rallies. You know, at one point, I actually had 40 pastors come out to stand against one of the hospitals here that was killing babies, Hillcrest, some years ago. And that took some doing. But for the most part, over the years, we've had about a dozen that have come out altogether. And 5 of those 12 are my associate pastors from Doers of the Word Baptist Church. And so they're all activists now. We want to, and that just reminds me, because right now we have Pastor Bruce, who is one of our associate pastors. Pastor Pfeiffer is in the hospital, and he's got pneumonia. Bruce is about 80 years old. And John McDernan, would you pray for Pastor Pfeiffer? Ask that God, the good Lord, would touch him and heal him. He's got the COVID and pneumonia.
Oh, Pastor Ernie, and he's in the hospital.
Yep, I know it.
What's his first name?
Bruce, Pastor Bruce Pfeiffer.
Pastor Bruce. Father, we bring Pastor Bruce before you. And Lord, hospitals today are not what they were, you know, a couple years back. We're asking, Lord, that you would work and heal his lungs and whatever else is necessary. This COVID is it's a curse, Lord. It is a bioweapon designed to kill us, some fast and some slow. But Lord, we ask now in Jesus' name that his lungs would clear up, no blood clots, Lord. His oxygen would be high. Lord, I ask for mercy, and they wouldn't give him that Remdesivir that knocks out the kidneys and fills the lungs up, and then they throw him on a ventilator, and that's usually the death sentence, Lord, in the hospital. So don't let that happen, Lord. Don't let that happen. And we ask that he would recover through you, and he'd be back preaching the word now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. He knows to not to get Remdesivir.
But they'll give it to him anyways.
Well, he'll refuse it unless they do it while he's sleeping or something. Okay, but he'll or tell him it's something else. But he knows to refuse it. And so here's what one of my deacon told me, who was in the hospital, and now he refused him. He told him he wanted no part of it. So a doctor came in, and his doctor said, you know what, I understand exactly what you're saying, he said, about Remdesivir. It's killing people. Why? It's not because of the drug. He said, here's what he told him. He said, these doctors, they're, you know, Big Pharma tells them what to do. Big Pharma, no matter, they're told not to question Big Pharma. Just go ahead and do whatever Big Pharma. That's where the money's at, okay? But anyhow, he said, the problem, what they do is they're given this and they don't know what they're doing. They're giving people way too much of that. He said, when you use that, he said, here's what you have to do. You use just a very tiny bit. And you monitor it. You monitor it very closely, very closely, and it can work. But he said these doctors don't know that. They're giving people way more than they should. They're not monitoring, and it's shutting down their kidneys, and it's killing people. And he told him that. He said, I promise you, Ken, that I will not kill you. I promise you, if you let me, okay.
Isn't that nice? That nice, Pastor Ernie? Just listen to that.
Yeah.
I promise you, I won't kill you. Oh, my.
So, there you go. And so.
Hold on, Pastor Ernie. Hold on. John, briefly tell the folks there what happened with Gary and the veteran.
Yeah, real quick. I had a friend of mine that I advised him not to get any JAGs, but he did. He got three. Everybody in his family got three. They got the COVID after they had all that, and he became congested. He went to a physician's office, which is part of the basis. The practitioner told him, well, you have to go on a ventilator, and he refused. Well, what else can you do, he asked. They said, well, we can give you this IV. He said, well, let me go talk about that. So he goes over to the hospital, and he says, what is in this? What does it do? And they said, well, we don't know. I don't know. I said, well, I want to talk to the ER doc. So the ER doc comes over and gives him some papers to read and comes back later after he read it. And Gary says, well, this doesn't sound too good. And he said, well, Mr. Gorth, what's your age and that? And he told him, and he said, well, look, he said, if we give this to you, I can't guarantee you that you will not be dead by tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so he said, well, I'm going to take a pass on that. And he goes back over to the original place that he went and talks to the practitioner that prescribed us and said, do you know what this does? Do you know what you're doing? Well, no, then why are you doing it? Well, because they come in every week and tell us exactly what to do, and that's what we do.
All righty, no, hang tight. We'll be.
It says our physician that we consult with, there is no practicing of medicine allowed by these people. They call it cookie gutter medicine, and that's it. They do what they're told.
They're losing credibility at a rapid, rapid rate. They're really losing credit. Everything, you know, was the FBI, the doctor, everything is losing credibility. Hang tight. We'll be back right after this.
Big John. Big John.
He was born of Elizabeth, the son of Zechariah, sent by God the Father to proclaim the Messiah. He was as bold as a lion, he knew no fear. An awesome man in a coat of camel hair.
Big John.
Big John. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
In the wilderness of Judea, you could hear him there. He was preaching repentance. It was very loud and clear. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Better listen, Pharisee. He preached to the sinner, the thief, and the liar. Only one way out of that burning lake of fire. The truth thundered forth from this righteous man, and those that believed found the promised land.
Big John, Big John,
Big Baptist John. Chosen by the Father to baptize the Son, it was there in the Jordan this awesome thing was done. The Holy Ghost descended as if it were a dove. A mighty voice thundered from heaven above. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. John, his friend, none greater than he. He told all the people about God the Son. He never quit preaching till the job was done.
John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Now 2,000 years later, the story is still being told. How he was thrown into prison for being so bold. He was martyred for God. To him it was an honor. He earned himself a mansion in heaven way out yonder. Big John. Now John's enemies, they perished in their shame. But John took his place in the Saints' Hall of Fame. Now in heaven above, the angels understood. When John preached repentance, he sure did it good. Baptist John. Now there's one thing John wants you to know. It's a fearful matter to lose your own soul. So call upon the Lord while you still can. And better take the advice of this mighty righteous man.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John. All right, the phone lines are now open. The phone lines are open, and Ren out there in New Jersey, you were waiting on for a long time. You could go ahead and call back. And we just had a prayer request for Pastor Michael Carl. Michael Carl, and he's in the hospital. He's in ICLU, and he's got the COVID. And John Holman, would you pray for Michael Carl?
Sure, Father. We bring Michael before you now, Lord Jesus. We ask that nothing would be done in this hospital that we worse than the problem that he has, Father, that he would get physicians who know the truth and will use the truth, and that he would be administered the proper care, Father. So we ask you now to watch over him supernaturally, bring about his healing, raise him up now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks. All right. Now we're going to go and take our other co-host, and I'm glad to be his hero too, and that's Cliff. You're in the air, Cliff.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? You know, you're talking about quercetin, John, and you weren't as familiar with it, but you can look that up on not regular Google, but Google Scholars. And what Google Scholar has is it's not really contaminated. it's a little technical, but it said, for example, or earlier studies said that quercetin inhibits all strains of influenza. You know, and that's something that you can find in onions. But that Solanco is really saying also you can take quercetin, vitamin C, and D. And he also added in green tea extract with the CBGDs, and that gets the zinc into the cells. And that's what you need to do, and that inhibits a propylase enzyme, which the virus needs to be active and working to replicate through. So it either inhibits that enzyme or kills it for all strains. So that's what he was saying there. And another thing was I had heard of was nanokinase. I don't have the spelling. Nanokinase. That's something that was on the list. LifeSite News has an article for decontaminating or detoxing from the vaccines, and that's on that. But if you just say that to the computer, it says that it breaks up blood clots. And
all right. Cliff, also, another one to add is black cumin seed. Black cumin seed actually is supposed to, it's spelled cumin. It's K.
Right. That's the same as black seed. Dr. Mm-hmm. Kagan was talking about. And that's on, they had three different experts gave their list, and that's like on at least one or two of them.
Yeah.
So I said, wait a minute, is black cumin the same as the black seed? And it is, yes. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Oh, and just also, the as far as Jeremiah chapter 49, the first 10 verses are very interesting. It talks about people trusting in their treasures. That would be like a Bill Gates, like no one's going to come near them. That's like verse like 3-ish, you know. And then it has three straight verses about wisdom vanishing. And that's what I think people are doing. I don't think they're connecting the dots on this thing. I was talking with someone, and they said, you know, there was an elderly woman that had some problems, and she was getting better. And her relative said she took the vaccine. She was dead 3 weeks later. And they did not make the connection that it was the vaccine. They think she had a relapse on whatever was wrong with her. And so people just are not connecting the dots on this, you know. And even Dr. Tedros said flat out that kill children. He's, you know, 1-2, kill children. Now, the agreement apparently was with these governments that this was to be used for people over 65, and they're getting carried away, you know.
Well, that Tedros with what he said, in fact, there's a couple that I played. But here's Tedros, and here's what he's telling you. He's telling you, and he's the head of the World Health Organization, that there's countries that are using the shots to kill children. They shouldn't be using them to kill children. They should be using them to kill the older folks. So here's what Mr. Tedros has to say.
So if it's going to be used, it's better to focus on those groups who have risk of severe disease and death, rather than, as we see, some countries are using to give boosters to kill children, which is not right. So if it's going to be used, it's better to focus on those groups who have risk of severe disease and death, rather than, as we see, some countries are using to give boosters to kill children, which is
there you
not
go.
Right.
So. I don't know. What do you think? Does that give him any kind of moral standing to it, where at least he says it's better to kill the elderly than the children? And by the way, do you guys know who Christine Grady is?
I know, Pastor Ernie.
Christine Grady is the head of the NIH. That's the National Institute of Health Bioethics. They are the company that approves drugs for the FDA. And guess who she's married to?
Fauci.
That's right. She's married to Fauci. And
another point I wanted to say was, you know, you had a call yesterday that said, oh, you know, the vaccines in the hospital. But a lot of these people, the 400,000, say it's 400,000 that died, a lot of these people are not dying in the hospital. They're getting like a sudden death syndrome. So in a sense, they're not, they're avoiding hospitalization. They're going right to the grave, but they are avoiding
hospitalization. What happens is there's an incredible, I don't know, amount of people that are dying in their sleep, Pastor Ernie.
Oh, I know that. Yeah.
Their heart is just stopping in their sleep.
I have, I'm going to play this. Now, this is from Dr. William Wellner, and this is back during the 1980s. And he's talking about Fauci was involved in some more bad, poisonous vaccines back then. Here's what he has to say. This is, again, Robert E. Wellner.
The lie to the individuals of the NIH, particularly Gallo and Fauci and Hazeltine and Essex, and the rest of these scoundrels of the worst order. Criminals guilty of genocide, without a doubt. I invite them to take me to court. I wish Burroughs Welcome would take me to court, because they have been putting out a killer drug knowingly. Because in a court of law, I would have the opportunity to provide the absolute proof and evidence, as I have in my book, Deadly Deception.
Well, so if you have enough money, if you get enough money from Big Pharma, see, Big Pharma got the, they had enough money to get the Congress to say, look, we'll eliminate, we'll give you protection, if you will, from being prosecuted for making your drugs to kill people. So if you would, we'll give you an exemption. And so, of course, Big Pharma had enough money. They could really influence all those Congress people, the ones they had to influence with all that money. So they gave them an exemption to make them just about where you couldn't sue them. And then they've killed all these people. And Fauci was one of the main ones, wasn't he?
Well, with AZT, let me say this about AZT. That was a chemotherapy drug. That had nothing to do with viruses. And it was too toxic to give cancer patients. So Fauci just aimed that at the AIDS people, and that's what killed most of the AIDS people, with the idea of get the numbers up for the AIDS so we could get the vaccine for the AIDS.
Yeah, but the important thing, did Fauci make a lot of money doing that?
Well, he has two goals. His primary goal is depopulation. Even then, he was like the original Bill Gates.
Yeah, but if you're going to depopulate, let's make some money while we're doing
it. Exactly.
All righty, thanks, Cliff. Got to move on there. Thank you. Okay, Bob, you're in the air.
Hi, Pastor. I was reading in the New York Post, and I think you're going to be glad to hear this. It says, big tech core vaccines, a plot to kill Americans. This tech sent a bunch of emails out to high-powered people in Utah, and it says real quickly, I'll give you a little thing. He says it claims the vaccine was a plot to depopulate the earth, sponsored by elites, including George Soros and Bill Gates, according to the Salt Lake Tribune. I believe the pandemic and systematic extermination of billions of people will lead to an effort to control, to consolidate all countries into the world under a simple totalitarian rule. However you say that. He put that in an email, and then he said, I pray that I'm wrong. But he's trying to stress to the people in Utah to stop the vaccination. As soon as I see that, when he was saying about Gates and everything else like that, I said, I've heard that before. Where did I hear that before? When it's good that it was able to get out, especially in the New York Post.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
All right, Pastor Ernie, you have a great night.
All right, thank you. Thanks for calling. I wanted to. Brian Kilmeade this morning on Fox News. Brian Kilmeade was saying, look, it's time to get over, and it's time now to accept the results of the election, the 2020 election. Do you guys think it's time to accept that?
Well, Pastor, any of the efforts in Pennsylvania have been totally squashed, as far as I know. Well, I don't accept that there wasn't cheating. I'll never accept that because there's hard evidence to prove there was.
Okay. Go ahead, John.
Well, I'm exactly the same. But I think, Pastor Ernie, time will tell, but we should have somehow pulled out of the Republican Party. I just don't think that it's redeemable. We had to. We needed a fresh party that would. We'd have energy. I'm just tired of hearing these Republicans. Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas, just what was it yesterday or the day before?
Oh, he's been trying to for 2 days. He's been doing everything he can to walk that back. I know. Well, he got caught. He said, I shouldn't have said that. Now knows right. That. Okay.
I'm tired of that. You know. So we need a fresh. Let the people join us, but we should have done that. But anyways, I'll never compromise. I'll never agree to it.
Me neither. Let me see. I'm going to read this real quick. Breaking big. True the Vote is releasing ballot trafficking findings from their investigations in 5 additional states. That's right. Just last night, news released on the update, the True Vote investigation into the ballot trafficking and ballot harvesting operation in Georgia. One of the ballot traffickers in Georgia was identified and is now talking to investigators. In other words, he's singing like a bird. According to the news, the man was paid thousands to harvest ballots in Georgia. Here, alleged ballot trafficker making the sounds in Georgia, radio host John Fredericks joined Steve Bannon back in September to discuss the explosive development in Georgia. According to the Fredericks, investigators have videoed. When they put out these boxes out there, they put video cameras. 240 Democrats. 240 operatives he called ballot traffickers, dumping tens of thousands of ballots into drop boxes in the middle of the night. Now, in the morning, John Fredericks told, the war room that the Georgia ballot trafficker whistleblower admitted to making $45,000 for stuffing Georgia ballot boxes from 2 to 5 a.m. in the morning. He was just one of 242 ballot traffickers identified by the True Vote investigation, and there's possibly hundreds of thousands of ballots that were stuffed into the ballot boxes in Georgia. It goes on to name some of the things in the other states. Okay, we got time for one fast call. Who do we have? John, you're the last caller. Go ahead. Joe. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yep, you're in the air. Go ahead.
No, this is not Joe from Bratnall. I'm referring to Cliff, who is Joe from Bratnall. You know, you're really being played by this guy, okay? I stopped listening to the Tom Kelly show because of this guy. I don't know why you keep accepting this person's phone call. You're being played by this guy, and you're really losing credibility with me by entertaining this guy every night.
Let me tell you why I do that. Cliff has some very interesting articles. He goes on other programs, too, with different names, all right? And he uses, and I've heard him on other ones, too. But he gets prepared. He always asks, and he asks the Bible question, and he's got good information. And if you'll ever notice something, I try to keep because of the amount of callers we get, and because he calls in so often, if we have other callers, we'll take them first, ones that don't call all the time. So there you go. That's the reason. Are you there? All righty, we're out of time. Okay. The last time it was Holman that gave the invitation. So McTurnan, it's your turn tonight.
How much time, Pastor Ernie?
3 minutes.
Okay. We live in a unique time when evil is clearly manifested. I mean, black and white out there. And there is truth, and there is love, and there is evil, and there is hate. And that comes, that shows you that there is God. God, as shown in the Bible, is love, truth, light. And there is a spiritual enemy, Satan. And that's, in fact, the Bible calls him the father of liars. So we have this, we could see it clearly now. And to be on God's side, we have to realize that we are sinners and that God loves us and sent Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for sin. There is a penalty. You could look at sin like as a crime. And if you commit a crime, there's always a penalty for it. So the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So the opportunity is for everyone. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of gender, of color, of position, wealth, poverty. He only respects faith in Jesus Christ. So it's done by repentance. There must be repentance from sin. It's an about face, turning to face Jesus Christ, living your life centered on him and his word. And his word, the Bible is the word of God. And then the confession, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The confession that Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his blood to pay the penalty for your sin, and that you now have assurance of eternal life because he is your Lord and Savior. And that is the only reason you have eternal life. There is no other way. If people reject Jesus Christ and into other religions or atheist or agnostic, they will have to pay the price on Judgment Day for all the sin that they have committed. And there is no way out from that, folks. The only way out from the penalty of sin is to realize that God sent Jesus to die on the cross for you. I think that's it, Pastor Ernie.
Well, you're absolutely right, John. Everything you just said.
Well, you finally agree with me.
Yeah. You see, there are those that will say, well, I don't believe it, but you're going to. Again, we always want to tell you, God's word is
good
without...
And evil. Good and evil is right in front of us, Pastor, and we can see it now. It's clearly, you can see it.
It's unfolding before our very eyes. It's,
yes.
You know, like yes. Pages of a book, huh? And so, all righty. Well, we're out of time for tonight. So until tomorrow, good night. God bless. And always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.